Four peace activists working with the humanitarian group Christian Peacemaker Teams were kidnapped in Baghdad on Saturday by a group calling itself the Swords of Righteousness Brigade. They've been identified as 54-year-old Tom Fox of Clearbrook, Virginia, 41-year-old James Loney of Toronto, Canada, 32-year-old Harmeet Singh Sudan, also of Canada, and 74-year-old Norman Kember of the UK. The four men were accused of being undercover spies working as Christian peace activists. The Christian Peacemaker Teams is a non-missionary organization that has been documenting the abuse of Iraqi detainees and working with the families of prisoners. Christian Peacemaker Teams initiated a long-term presence in Iraq in October 2002, 6 months before the beginning of the U.S.-led invasion in March 2003. CPT were first to publicly denounce the torture of Iraqi people at the hands of U.S. forces long before the media here revealed what was happening at Abu Ghraib prison. Earlier today, I spoke by telephone with Cliff Kendi, a member of Christian Peacemaker Teams, who has spent many months in Iraq doing humanitarian work. You've been to Baghdad, Cliff. Maybe can you tell us a little more about yourself and your involvement with the Christian Peacemakers team?
I was initially on the steering committee of CPT, Christian Peacemaker Teams, 16 years ago, and I have been for the past 16 years, still am. But since about 97, I've been a full-timer with CPT, so I've been in places like Gaza Strip and West Bank and Chiapas, Mexico, and Colombia, Vieques, Puerto Rico, First Nation struggles, and now the last 3 years I've been 5 months each year in Iraq.
And maybe why did you go to Iraq?
Well, that's a good question to start with. I went to Iraq initially because it looked like a war was going to start. And we were asking ourselves the question, what would it take to stop a war for a change? So that's what took me across that line. And partly to cross the line into Iraq in 2002, in October, when I went, was breaking the sanctions. It was refusing to recognize Iraqis as enemy. The sanctions said that it was 12 years in prison and $1 million fine for breaking the sanctions by going to Iraq. And I think it's important to break barriers down between people to try to humanize each other. So it's much more difficult to destroy somebody once you put a human face on them. I guess that was part of our effort in going to Iraq.
As our listeners are probably well aware at this point, there have been four members of the Christian Peacemaker Teams who have been kidnapped in the last week, and their images were broadcast on international media. Four of them are all Westerners, one from the state of Virginia, one man from England, and two from Canada. These are all, people who have gone to Iraq, as you did, to make connections with everyday Iraqis. Can you just talk about the situation? What has been the response of Christian Peacemakers Team, and what I guess just generally talk about the situation with those folks?
Yeah. Well, our response has been to continue the work that we do, the nonviolence building of trust and relationships between people. We're saying it's important to be praying, and it's important to try to continue the nonviolent efforts that we have been doing that would best work toward the release of our four friends. Recently, there have been major outpourings of support from Arabic groups all across Palestine and Iraq because of the work that we've done in those communities. They're making requests to those who, as I say, are hosting our CPTers at this point. They're making requests that they not harm those CPTers. CPT has done very strong support work for Palestinians and Iraqis over this last decade. That CPTers have gone to prison, CPTers have been in front of the bulldozers, CPTers have been expelled from the country on behalf of Palestinians and Iraqis. So they're making the request that they not be harmed. Now, it's clear to me, we as CPT usually request that international forces not intervene militarily. It's clear to us that always the tools of nonviolence are much more effective than the tools of violence. We've been in Iraq. We've been in a very severe security situation for the last year and a half, particularly. And during that time, we've refused to use armed guards. We've refused to ride in things like Humvees and tanks and all these secure vehicles. We don't live inside compounds that have 12-foot high concrete walls and armed checkpoints at each entry point. And I think the fact that we've been there during this period is a clear evidence that those tools of nonviolence have been very effective during this time. Now, it doesn't mean that they're always effective, but we're in a different situation now than we've been in. And in some ways, we're learning on the ground. Clearly, this, with our four CPTers in this situation, we're in a learning and growing time. How will the tools of nonviolence work? How will we be transformed? How will those who are holding the CPTers right now be transformed in this situation? How will the situation in Iraq be transformed because of this situation? How will the situation in this country be changed because of this event? In some ways, it's, I think, a very important time.
Who, in your view, is responsible for the hostage situation right now?
Maybe all of us. Clearly, if the horrors, the terrors of the last couple years of the occupation hadn't been happening, the ways in which Iraqis were relating to us before the war, during the bombing of Baghdad, and in the 2 years after the war, I think would have continued. We wouldn't have had the buildup of al-Qaeda, the growing resistance of the Iraqi population to the U.S. military presence, and then anybody related to that occupying presence. I remember times during the bombing of Baghdad, people would ask, "Who are you? Where are you from?" "My name's Cliff. I'm from the United States." "Welcome, welcome." And I'd ask myself, "Welcome? I mean, those are planes from my country up above us dropping missiles and bombs on this city, and they still welcome me." Because they were able to make a distinction between U.S. people and U.S. policy. And at this point, those distinctions are blurring because of the horrors that have been perpetrated by the occupation. Maybe partly we in CPT are at fault because we haven't ended a war and we haven't ended the occupation. We haven't thrown ourselves so wholeheartedly into it, so creatively into it, that the war goes on and the situation for Iraqis gets worse and worse. So, maybe we're all at fault for it.
Are there any lines of communication right now between CPT and the people who are hosting the four hostages?
At this point, I know of no lines of communication. I think, some of the groups that have come out strongly vouching for CPT in the Middle East would be more likely to have some of those lines of communication. But this is a new group, and at least at this point, we're not clear what the connections and relationships are with those we've already gotten to know over the years.
Maybe talk a little more about your personal experiences being over in Iraq and just what it's like, living in everyday warlike conditions in a combat zone.
Last November, I went back for the third time just as the assault on Fallujah was happening. This was also on the heels of the disappearance of Margaret Hassan from Care International, the two Simona women from Italy, and another friend of ours from with connections to Poland. And at that point, we really changed our security precautions and almost straitjacketed our work in Iraq. And then we discovered in doing that, you know, peacemaking work relies on the building of trust and vulnerability and openness to relationships, even though they may be risky. And once you start to close those doors, once you start to make security the primary issue, then you lose the opportunities you have to do peacemaking work. Because peacemaking work starts as those relationships begin to build between those who are on opposite sides of a barrier. And so crossing that barrier requires vulnerability. Crossing that barrier requires risk-taking. So at one point we said, whoa, what are we doing? You know, if we're going to lock ourselves down so tight, just in terms of the precautions, don't take rides in taxis, don't go more than a few blocks from the apartment so we're in areas that people know us. Always go two at a time. Never have the whole team out at one point. Don't put our information, our location out in a card so people can come visit us. All those kinds of things. Always get in the, meet your driver at a different location, be dropped off in a different location, keep rotating translators. Well, pretty soon, you don't have any way to do peacemaking anymore. And so we said, okay, how do we take back those spaces we've conceded? So last spring when we left, three of us left overland by car going to Amman, that 300-mile route to the Jordanian border and then on to Amman, to take back the space that we had earlier conceded because there had been attacks against people traveling on that major highway stretch between Baghdad and the Jordanian border. We began to walk around Baghdad as we had done earlier. We began to reach out more, do more traveling. You know, we got into Fallujah and places like that. So I guess we all deal with those fears, the emotions that are part of those security precautions, but as CPTers, we also have to remember the reason we're there. It always pushes us to be, to reach out, to push the envelope, and because it's only at those points of vulnerability that peacemaking most readily takes place. About 18, 19 months ago, Stuart was on the street getting some vegetables for supper, and two Iraqis met him and said, "Can I help you?" And they said, "Yes, we have people who've been detained. Can you help us find where they're detained, what the charges are, and how we can get visits from family?" He said, "Stop by after our worship and team meeting tonight, and we'll be glad to see what we can do." So 9 o'clock, a knock on the window. These two young Iraqis came in with their list of names. They were very angry. They had a lot of emotions and frustrations. The one had been a part of the Iraq Republican Guard, Saddam's elite unit. The other came back from school in New Zealand that had been part of the war. At the end of the war, the first had discovered his, when he came home from the war, discovered his parents both killed and all his brothers and sisters killed. So a lot of anger. And we listened for about an hour, and about an hour into the conversation, the one who spoke English well said, "Would everybody please set down your tea glasses?" He pulled out a gun and said, "We're out here on a mission tonight to take out this house and everybody in it. Please remain calm." He asked his friend to raise his shirt. He was strapped, ready to blow. He said, "The bomb goes off in 15 minutes. They tied us up, and over the next hour, the bomb didn't go off. It turned into more of a robbery, whether that was planned initially or not. It was clear when I sat on the couch beside him as he announced his mission. I said to myself, well, tonight we die. Well, how you deal with that may determine what happens in many ways. And maybe, I keep saying, maybe because we listened, we're alive today. Because we treated them as human beings in spite of our own anxieties. And Jim, one of my teammates, who is disappeared now, was there that evening. So Jim is very spiritually grounded, as is Tom Fox, both of whom I've worked with in Iraq. I don't know the other two, so I can't speak to their character. But I think that spiritual grounding and that ability to listen and use the tools of nonviolence will stand in a good stead in these times.
I think that's a perfect place to end, unless you have any further thoughts for our listeners today, Cliff Kendi.
Our prayers need to be there for all those involved in this recent event and for Iraqis who daily face these kinds of terrors from the occupation and the suicide bombings.
Well, our thoughts are with the four, and I thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.
Take care now.
Be with you.
And that was an interview with Cliff Kendi, a member of the Christian Peacemaker Teams, a humanitarian relief group who have been working in Iraq for the last 3 years. Four peace activists working with the group were kidnapped in Baghdad and are being held hostage by a group calling itself the Swords of Righteousness Brigade. The situation has sparked outrage across the Middle East. Three of the four CPT prisoners currently being held had previously done relief work in Palestine. This week, 300 Palestinians in Ramallah held a demonstration calling for the release of the four peace activists kidnapped in Iraq. With more on that, we'll hear from Huwaida Araf, a spokesperson for the International Solidarity Movement.
Can you just talk briefly to the work of the ISM?
Well, the International Solidarity Movement was founded in conjunction or shortly after the outbreak of the Second Intifada, more accurately in the spring of 2001, and it was founded to be a resource for the Palestinian nonviolent resistance, because the Palestinian civilians that were resisting the occupation by demonstrating or protesting alone were being faced by a massive military force. The Israeli army was coming at us with their tanks, with their M-16s, with their helicopters. And in the first few months of the Intifada, hundreds of unarmed Palestinian civilians were shot dead. So we had this idea of getting the international community actively involved in the Palestinian resistance so that international civilians from all over the world could see with their own eyes what was happening, could relay this back to their respective media outlets, to their friends and families and colleagues back home, and at the same time, with their time, the time they spend in the occupied Palestinian territories, they can form, provide protective accompaniment for Palestinians. Because, like I said, Palestinians protesting alone were being shot at. They were being faced and attacked with lethal force. But when you have internationals with Palestinians, the Israeli government, the Israeli military realizes this, and generally they use less lethal forms of violence. So for the protective accompaniment, for the witnessing, and for the the spreading of information, the International Solidarity Movement, or the active involvement of international civilians, provided this resource for Palestinians to continue using civilian grassroots forms of organizing and resisting a very repressive occupation.
The reason I called you today is actually to talk about the situation in Iraq with four Christian Peacemakers team members who were taken hostage over the last week. And it's come to light that two of those four have actually worked in the occupied territories in the West Bank and Gaza. Can you just talk briefly to their work with the ISM or with the situation there in Palestine?
Sure. Actually, three of them have been in the occupied Palestinian territories. One of them, James, was in Palestine 5 years ago with the Christian Peacemaker Team. And the International Solidarity Movement works very closely with the Christian Peacemaker Team. Actually, they were an active part of our first campaign, and we constantly coordinate to best support a Palestinian nonviolent resistance and to witness and report. So the relationship is very close. But one of the four, Harmeet Sudan, he's a Canadian citizen who's been living in New Zealand. He actually came over to the occupied Palestinian territories with the International Solidarity Movement. During his time with us, he assisted Palestinian farmers in harvesting their olives and in resisting the wall, which Israel is building, which is confiscating much Palestinian farmland and destroying, or has destroyed, hundreds of thousands of Palestinian trees. He was an active part of standing in solidarity with Palestinians in their resistance, in attempting to live their lives, to harvest their olives, which Palestinian farmers often can't do because they're attacked by settlers or they're prevented by the Israeli military. I know that the four were in Iraq for similar means, to resist occupation, to listen to the people that have been living under occupation, and to try to take this information back to their home countries. I know that the time that they spent in Palestine, they were warmly received and loved and respected by the Palestinian communities that they touched and that they came into contact with. And as a result, we've seen since their kidnapping, the Palestinians have come out very strongly in support of their safe release and have issued numerous statements over the past couple of days from all over. The Palestinian Authority on an official level released a statement calling for their safe release. The Minister of Islamic Affairs in Palestine, Imam Ikram Sabri, also released a statement asking for their safe release. Palestinian political parties and even the armed resistance in Hebron, the Christian Peacemaker team is based in Hebron, and they worked most closely with the Palestinians in Hebron. All of the Palestinian political factions in Hebron released a statement calling on the Iraqi resistance to release the Christian Peacemaker team safely. In their statement, they said that these Christian Peacemaker team activists have stood with us, and they face the gas with us, and they face the violence of the Israeli occupation with us, and they stood with us to help. And I know that we know that they were with you to help. They are not spies, and we need to respect and take care of them, and we ask you to safely release them. Yesterday in the center of Ramallah, there was a large demonstration of political activists, members of the armed resistance, members of the religious community, the Union of Palestinian Islamic Scholars, and official members of the Palestinian Authority and members of civil society gathered also to demonstrate for the safe release of the four peace activists. And we're working, we're hoping, and we're praying that if this is a legitimate resistance body, group that is just resisting or trying to resist the occupation of their country that kidnapped the four activists, then they will hear the pleas and they will know that it was wrong to do what they did, and that these four aren't spies. These four were standing in solidarity with the Iraqi people. These four were actively working, not only in Iraq, but in Palestine also, against occupation of any kind. So if it is a legitimate anti-occupation group, we don't know really anything about the group that took them, then hopefully they will hear these messages and release them soon. However, there are some doubts as to the nature of this group that that carried out the kidnapping. Some unexplainable piece of information have come to light. For example, yesterday the Israeli military arrested a Palestinian journalist that has been documenting all of the Palestinian actions and pleas for the safe release of the Iraqis. They say that they arrested him on security reasons, but they haven't said what those security reasons are. And this cameraman was filming, and he's a cameraman for Al Jazeera, the largest Arab satellite network, and they arrested him. Another journalist we just heard may have also been arrested by the Israeli military, and this journalist also had written about the Palestinian call for the safe release. So it casts some doubt, or it's strange or unexplainable, why the Israeli military would be arresting journalists that are helping to air these pleas from Palestinians to the kidnappers.
That's an interesting development that I hadn't heard anything about. I'm wondering if you can speak to the significance of, you know, why is it significant that, you know, the Palestinians are calling for their release? How will that impact the situation?
Well, again, depending on who the kidnappers are, we're not sure if they will, but depending on the reasons that they kidnapped them, if it was, you know, for any kind of political demands, like an end to the occupation, or for American occupation troops to pull out, then they will know that these four are against the occupation and work in their own way against the occupation. Not that it's legitimate to involve any civilian in any kind of attacks or armed resistance, but sometimes it could be that the people that are resisting the occupation of their country see foreigners and mistake them for spies or for anything else. And so we felt that Palestinians, I mean, as Palestinians living under occupation, we know what it's like. We know that, we also know the importance of solidarity work, and we wanted to convey that. We wanted to do two things. One, we wanted to get our message out that we know these four aren't spies or collaborators or meant in any way to hurt the Iraqi people, and we want the kidnappers to know that. And two, we want the kidnappers to realize that solidarity work is so very important, and every person that stands in solidarity with you should be welcomed and respected and encouraged, and you don't want to scare these people away. Average civilians don't necessarily represent the actions, the wrong actions of their government, and Palestine over the last few years has benefited tremendously from the thousands of warm, kind-hearted, caring people that have come to the occupied territories to stand with us. And we want also, again, if this is a legitimate resistance group that took them, we want them to know and realize that.
I know you've got a busy day, so I'll just ask you one or two more questions. Mainly, what can citizens of the United States who are concerned about these issues, what actions can we take to impact not only the situation in Palestine, but also with these four hostages?
Well, sadly, I'm not sure that I could give very constructive or confident advice about direct action that American citizens can do about the four hostages, again, because we're not sure of the nature of the group that took them. We are hoping that the call from the Palestinians living under occupations will help. Of course, we're not sure. But what American citizens can continue to do is to campaign and to contact their representatives, members of Congress, about ending the occupation, the active occupation of Iraq, and supporting the Israeli occupation of Palestine. Because certainly American foreign policy has led to great distrust of Americans all over the world. A lot of people, Palestinians, have been able to distinguish between American civilians and American foreign policy, but the hypocrisy of American foreign policy and the fact that it has been used to support oppressive regimes and occupations in other parts of the world has created great animosity towards the United States, and we need to address that, and we need to fix that. And what we need to be able to do that is for American citizens to be aware that this is happening. Many Americans don't know that $2.2 billion of their tax money goes to the Israeli military just for military supplies every single year. When we need this money in American schools for American health care, we're giving it to an army that is actively oppressing, occupying, demolishing another people. If American citizens would realize this and communicate to the members of Congress that we won't stand for this, we can go a long way in helping improve the American image abroad and actually help contribute to the spread of democracy and the spread of peace that we talk about all the time. And I guess that goes to your second question also. Doing that can hopefully help these four in that people, Iraqis, Palestinians, see Americans more and more saying that we won't stand for this occupation, and in a larger sense help improve the American, the image of the United States abroad. If people want to find out specifically about the international solidarity movement and the thousands of members that have come to the occupied Palestinian territories, and how you can come and join us, learn more, and work on the ground with Palestinians. They can visit our website, which is www.palsolidarity.org.
I thank you for your time, Hoeda Araf. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners today?
Well, thank you so much for helping to get these messages out, and we just need everybody to pray for the safe release of these four hostages and of innocent victims everywhere.
And you're tuned into Rockin' the Boat on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org on the World Wide Web. My name's the V-Man, and we just heard an interview with Hoeda Araf, a spokesperson based in the United States for the International Solidarity Movement. You can check out palsolidarity.org for more information about that. Earlier, we heard an interview with Cliff Kendi, a member of the Christian Peacemaker Teams, and their website, cpt.org. cpt.org is the Christian Peacemaker Teams website. A little bit of late-breaking news on that situation. According to a news report being released now by the Associated Press, the kidnappers of four Christian peace activists threatened to kill the hostages unless all prisoners in U.S. and Iraqi detention centers are released, according to a videotape broadcast Friday by Al Jazeera Television. The tape showed what the broadcaster said were two Canadian hostages. An American and a Briton are also being held. The kidnappers gave the two governments until December 8th to meet their demands, Al Jazeera quoted a statement delivered with the tape as saying. The Canadians were shown eating from plates of what appeared to be Arabic sweets. In a second clip, the Briton and American hostages were shown talking to the camera, but no audience was transmitted. All four men appeared frightened. The hostages called on the U.S. and British governments to withdraw from Iraq, Al Jazeera reported, quoting a statement from the kidnappers, who earlier identified themselves as the Swords of Righteousness Brigade, a previously unknown group. The corner of the video showed two crossed black swords and the name of the insurgent group written in red Arabic script, the same emblem shown in an earlier video of the hostages. The group has claimed that the kidnapped men from the Chicago-based Christian Peacemaker Teams were spies working under the cover of peace activists. The group denied spying. Greg Rollins, a Canadian member of Christian Peacemaker Teams, said news of the death threat was disturbing. Quote, it's a bit of a shock, end quote, said Rollins, who had not yet seen the new video. He said he hoped the kidnappers would respond to messages of support from Muslims and other Arabs for the group, which opposes the war in Iraq. Quote, hopefully they will continue to read those things and get a positive idea of what we do here and who my teammates are, end quote. The activists were seized November 26 near Baghdad University. A car blocked their car, gunmen got out, threw the driver and translator out, and drove away with the four Westerners, security officials said Thursday. The officials spoke on condition of anonymity because they are not authorized to talk to the media. The men were kidnapped at the same place where Giuliana Sagrina, a reporter for the Italian newspaper Il Manifesto, was seized February 4th and held for a month by a group calling itself Mujahideen Without Borders. That group had not been known before and has not been heard from since, but may be using a different name. The Christian activists, Tom Fox, 54, of Clearbrook, Virginia, Norman Kember, 74, of London, James Loney, 41, of Toronto, and Harmeet Singh, Sudan, 32, of Canada, had been repeatedly warned by Iraqi and Western security officials that they were taking a grave risk by moving about Baghdad without bodyguards. Quote, he was in Iraq solely for peaceful purposes and was passionate about taking an active role in giving humanitarian aid to the Iraqi people. There were no other motives for him to go to Iraq, Sudan's family said in a statement. Sudan's brother-in-law, Mark Brewer, said the captor's demands was impractical. It couldn't be much worse, could it? Brewer told the Canadian press from Auckland, New Zealand. The family is shocked and devastated by the latest developments and will be watching the news anxiously. Kember's family said he was opposed to the U.S. presence in Iraq. He was in Iraq because of human rights abuses against the Iraqi people, the family said in a statement. Looney's family said they, like the others, were praying for his release. Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin said Friday his government was cooperating with the Iraqi, American, and British governments in Iraq in an effort to gain their freedom. They came here to help the people of Iraq. They are men of faith, he said. We will do all we can to get these men back home. The earlier video, broadcast Tuesday by Al Jazeera, showed the four men sitting on the floor. The camera revealed Kember's passport. A German archaeologist, Susan Ostoff, 43, also disappeared recently. On a video made public November 29th, kidnappers threatened to kill her unless Germany stops dealing with the Iraqi government. Ostoff, who speaks Arabic, had helped distribute aid in Iraq. The new abductions of Westerners come after a month-long hiatus. The gruesome killings of past hostages have brought criticism from many Arabs, including an influential Egyptian cleric who issued a fatwa saying that since Iraq remains in a state of war, the kidnapping of those involved in the war is allowed, but hostages should not be killed. Some security experts believe the surge of kidnappings may be a result of lax security, attempts by insurgents to mix up tactics in an intense period of car bombings and suicide attacks, or a desire to disrupt this month's elections. Insurgents, I don't like that word, resistance fighters, including Al-Qaeda in Iraq, have seized more than 225 people in Iraq, killing at least 38. That's the latest news being distributed now on the Associated Press Newswire. And just on a final thought, the CPT on their website has issued a request for statements of support. As you probably know, four of our colleagues, Harmeet, Jim, Norman, and Tom, are missing in Baghdad. We want their safe return home. Their families are very worried about them. We do not know with whom they are staying, but there appears to have been a misunderstanding. They are peacemakers, not spies. CPT has consistently opposed the war and the continuing presence of multinational forces in Iraq. If you or your organization could issue a statement which underlines the firm commitment to peacemaking by CPT and its personnel, it would be very helpful at this critical juncture. You might wish to incorporate the comments made in the previous paragraph. You might also wish to affirm the work of CPT as you understand it. CPT seek to reduce violence and to advocate on behalf of the human rights of all Iraqis. Done so in the name of all our other current projects as well in Colombia, Palestine, Canada, and the Mexico-U.S. borderland. CPT work for peace in Iraq and for an end to the occupation. Please word your statement in such a way that it appeals to the humanity of the current hosts of our loved ones and avoids any negative stereotyping. If you feel like you need more information or want to check the exact wording of your statement with us, you may call CPT's Joe Roberts at area code 416-423-5525 between noon and 8 p.m. Eastern. If you have connections in the Middle East, it would be particularly helpful for you to translate your letter into Arabic and distribute it to your contacts and media in the Middle East. It would also be helpful to distribute it to your contacts and media in your own region. For those of you who live in countries which are a part of the occupation of Iraq, especially the U.S. and the U.K., this is also an opportunity to advocate for an end to the occupation. We would appreciate receiving a copy of your statement at Together We Can, and Together We Can End the Scourge of War and Violence. That was from Doug Pritchard and Carol Rose, co-directors of the Christian Peacemaker Teams. Again, you can get information on how to contact Christian Peacemaker Teams on their website, cpt.org. And here at Rockin' the Boat, I am thinking about these four men right now and the grave threat that looms over them. We're just about out of time for this edition of the program. Join me next week for another edition from 3 to 5 p.m. right here on Freak Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org.